Okay, with the team of the short film Routine, Abu is the director, and then we have Nilal, who is also the DP of the film. It's 5 minutes. You guys are both from, or you guys are living in Quebec now, correct?
Yes, exactly.
And how long? And you guys, you Abu, it's according to your blog interview, you immigrated to Canada a few years back.
Yeah, back in 2017, end of 2017, I'm originally from Senegal, and I came here as a international student and kind of made my way up here to, I'm now a resident, but that's how I started.
And so you started as a student, and now you're staying in Canada.
Yeah, basically.
Okay. That's good. I love Montreal. That's where my wife is, so I go there all the time.
Oh,
My
nice.
wife
That's
is from
awesome.
originally. She lives in Toronto now, but like, yeah, we,
Okay.
yeah.
Wait, so do you speak French at all, or?
I should, shouldn't I? But I don't.
Yeah,
You guys do. You guys both do, don't you? I heard you talking before the podcast. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Is French your first language?
For me, it's Creole, but yes, I speak French too.
Okay.
Yeah, now for French, my second, I speak Olof, which is my mother tongue from Senegal.
Okay, so you all speak more than three languages?
Yes.
Well, maybe I speak three. It's Wolof, English, and French. She
Okay.
might speak more. Who knows?
Okay, so talk to me about this film, because tone-wise, it's a really interesting film, because it's kind of, you're changing film stocks, you're going from color to black and white. It's sort of like a not sort of, but it's a kind of a silent comedy, and then it's a talky comedy. It's a satire, but it's also a drama. So tone-wise, there's a lot going on in this film in 5 short minutes. So how did you
Yeah.
pull it off? Talk to me about how you kind of pulled off this film.
Ooh, pulling up. I mean, I think wise. Oh, that's good. Oh man, where do I start? I guess I mean, it's just in me to like, I like blending things in a way that doesn't initially make sense, and then you're like, oh, it actually works. So I kind of picked from just music video visuals. I was watching this music video by Kendrick Lamar and Baby Keem called Family Ties, and I had this thing going on where they had, picture in picture stuff, and it was really cool. And I was like, oh, what if I took that and then made it like an actual story? So that was where the the picture in picture aspect of the film came about. And anything related to like the symmetry or color, that's a very like Wes Anderson coded type of style, and I took that and talked about it with Nila, and she wonderfully like made it visually appealing when we got to filming.
So how did you guys meet? How did you guys Neil, how did you guys meet originally?
We met from an Instagram group,
Oh, wow.
which reunites a lot of young creators. So Abu put an announce, and it talks to me, so I responded and I say I want to work with you. So we met after that in a little coffee, and he presented to me his idea. So we went from there. And so we had a limited budget and a limited time. So we decided to shoot with my iPhone. So we did it like that. And it went from there. I followed a lot of Abo direction, but I put my vision too in it, and I don't know how to say it. I kind of just make it mine too by listening to Habu and his ideas, watching his previous work. So we went from there.
You went from there. And so this is your first project that you guys worked on together?
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Yeah. And you think you guys are going to work on again? Work together again?
Hell yeah.
I hope
Hell
so,
yeah.
yeah.
Oh yeah, there's a saying in French. They say, "On ne change pas une équipe qui gagne." You basically like, you stick with the winning team. So no, we got something going on here, and we're just gonna keep, developing that.
Yeah, we kind of, it was like crazy because we haven't talked a lot. We met like once before started the set, the shooting. So it was crazy, and we just met at different places, and we started shooting. Like it was a really fast pace. So it was crazy, but a good experience for me.
So Abu, you wrote the script as well. Like, what are you trying to say in this film? Like, what's the thematic?
It's about breaking out. Well, it's not necessarily breaking out. I was mostly like making an observation, pointing out this situation that we're all kind of stuck in, especially me as a creative and the creative that I'm surrounded by. You usually have these big dreams and then big, ideas and big adventures you want to go on, but then you can't because then you're tied to all these responsibilities, etc. And you don't necessarily hate it, but you would rather be in this other place. And I just wanted to point out, that kind of tragedy that we can't, I guess you can call it a tragedy. It depends on people's point of views, but that's kind of how I saw it, that you have to, make do with what you're given, even though you got bigger dreams you want to pursue. You're just stuck in this routine. And there's kind of, because like the movie is kind of, if you strip away the humor out of it, it's very sad. It's just a girl, being bullied at work and being miserable. And the only time she really feels happy or free is when she's dreaming of this heavenly place. So that's kind of like what I was trying to convey in there. It's just, that dichotomy between our dreams and then what we're, forced to deal with.
Have you ever read the book, the Walter Mitty book?
No.
It's there made a movie about it. It's the same kind of concept where he has like a humdrum job. But then his fantasy world is so amazing, and then he just wants to live in his fantasy world, which a lot of us do, I guess, right?
Oh, I
Yeah, well,
didn't.
I can definitely relate to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I
Yeah,
feel
watch
The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Watch the it's actually really Vince Lord directed it, he started it. It's actually very underrated film. It's like it's one of those films that didn't like catch the audience marketing, whatever, but it's like, yeah, it's a really good film. So yeah. And
Gotcha.
it reminded me when I was watching your film. Your film's obviously more arty and like more like into the culture that you're in and whatever, but it's sort of the similar concept. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I like that.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of young creators, all areas, I don't know, all artsy people and creative people, we can relate to that story because to live from your art is kind of difficult nowadays, more than ever. So I feel like a lot of us are stuck with like a day-to-day job to just survive, but we have
Yeah.
this like fantasy of living from our creativity. So I think it can resonate with a lot of people, even people that aren't creatives, because I feel like now more than ever, everybody can relate to that kind of stories.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's you guys, I'm assuming you guys are both in your 20s. It's what you go through in your 20s in a very general sense.
For sure.
And then either the 30s you have kids and whatever, and you get kind of grounded in a job where like like you're stable, you get more stable, I guess, right? But in your 20s you kind of have to like work, you have to like work at your dream and then work the day job to pay the rent, right? And then
Absolutely, yeah.
try to have enough energy after the day job to do what you really want to do.
Cool. At night, exactly. Yeah, it can be very lonely and very, just a lot of work. And yeah, and because it was very cool when we won the award for best story, because that was so motivating. Like, oh, all right, I guess we could keep doing it. And it can't pay off. That was such a motivation. Like, okay, we got something. Let's keep going. This is not the time to give up. So it was really cool getting that. Yeah.
There's an old saying like write what you know, and I think that's what you did. I think you made a film with what you know, right?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. With what we've got at the time, because if I can say it was not easy for us, we had like limited resources and all of that, but we were so driven by passion and patience, and I feel like it's kind of our fuel. I don't know how to say essence, but
Feel, feel, feel.
fuel. Yeah, to like go and try harder to make our dream come true, if I can say. So yeah, I'm happy that we won this awards from. Yeah.
So Matilda, she plays the is it Matilda? She plays the lead.
Mathilde,
Yeah.
yeah.
So tell me where you found that her.
Oh, how do
That's a longer story. I actually, because I'm also an actor. So we first met back in 2021 when we were doing this web series called Triad. And she was one of the actresses, and I was one of the, characters as well. And we just kept contact from there. And as I was writing the script to this one, like, I just know what vibe or what kind of character I was going for, and based on what I've seen of her, and I was like, she can definitely portray it. And thank God I wasn't wrong, because she did fantastic there. But yeah, so we started. I made her way back during film sets, filming a web series.
Yeah, and then you just what and you just kind of gave her the role, like you asked her if she can play it.
Yeah, I asked her if she could play it. But here's the thing, it's not. I didn't know that she could play it off, because I already seen her work and I already seen her play the same type of character before. So I knew that,
Okay.
she'd be able to do it. And yeah.
Okay, so
And
she the movie starts, she's in her dream, and then she goes to reality. She has the bus stop, has to do the grind of commuting, and then you pick the gyro store, like the sandwich store. Is that personal? Is that where like you work at a sandwich store? Is that where it comes from?
well, not necessarily a sandwich store, but I've worked for a long time as a cashier, so anything related to like customer service, I'm very familiar with it. So yeah, I kind of picked on that and did it. I haven't necessarily met a character as cartoonish as the one she has to deal with, but
I'm gonna get
she has
to
an
that character in a second. Yeah, gotcha.
yeah.
All right. All right. Okay, so you just brought him up. So tell me about what is this character supposed to be? He's like, I don't want to get into the stereotypes, but you tell me what's he, what's, what is, who is that, this character?
Because all right, part of the movie style was mixing, because we take a lot of codes from old black and white movies from the 50s, whatever, but like it's also very modern. You look at it, you don't think it was made back, like you can tell there's a lot of things that are very modern, and I wanted to like kind of mix both, so I kind of made him dress like a character from a noir detective movie from way back when. So the hat
Okay.
and all that, yeah, and mixed with a little bit of the cartoonish side that I really liked, and that I thought was just a universal language that anybody watching it would understand without any dialogue. Oh, this is what the character represents, this is what's going on. And so stripped away the dialogue, kept it very cartoonish,
Yeah.
etc., and that gave his performance.
And that's good because, yeah, because you kind of put it like, so you guys shot this on a smartphone?
Where's
Okay.
also, by the way?
Your smartphone? Yeah, that's really cool. And then did you always think it was going to be black and white? Did you always like kind of design it to be black and white?
Yeah, it made sense having, especially if you wanted to contrast that with the colorful world that she yearns to, be in. It made
Yeah.
sense to like make it black and white, and yeah, that's kind of what we went off of.
And then, so the character, where did the hat come from for the, like,
Abdullah, who plays the client, actually suggested the hat.
yeah.
He was like, "Well, I
Yeah,
got a
but,
whole
yeah.
yeah." I remember him saying it was, I think, his Halloween costume from the year before. And
Yeah,
he said,
right,
"I could." Go ahead.
No, it's good.
Well, not yet. So he suggested it, and because I initially only had the coat he
Design
was wearing.
food name.
Yeah, so he brought the hat, and I don't know, he just added to the character. You just made him,
Yes.
I guess that's that method acting aspect of it,
Yeah. Well, because you're making it kind of over the top, right? Tone wise, where like even the manager is like that's not his real mustache, right?
I'm playing the manager, by the way. I if
Got
you
you.
didn't
Okay,
recognize
gotcha. All right.
that. Yeah, it was that was a obviously, very fake mustache that I had.
Yeah.
It was funny. Filming my scene with Matthew was hard to film, because we kept laughing at how ridiculous the mustache looked on me. But I think it fit within the story in itself.
Yeah.
So
And there's something bittersweet about getting, I guess she gets fired, right? So it's like bittersweet where like she hates her job, but then again she needs the money, right? So
Exactly.
yeah.
That's
Something for sure that not related to it.
What's
I
that?
think that's kind of pretty much something we cannot relate to.
Never been fired from a job?
Well, thank God, no.
Oh my
No.
God. I got fired
Yeah.
from so many jobs in my 20s
Oh,
doing
man.
jobs like that. I had my heart wasn't in it. I'm like I work hard, right? And but when my heart's not in it, it's like
Same. So
That's
I
it.
and then when I
Yeah.
have no respect for the job, like I have no respect for
Exactly.
the, I just don't, and then you just, I just don't care.
Yeah.
I know it's not good,
Yeah.
right? But this is like, for
That's
me, it's
really
20 years
funny.
ago. So, but it's like, I got fired a lot.
Me once.
Man, that's tough. I can't imagine how like the first one you got fired felt like. That must have been,
Well, I
yeah.
was, it
But
was, you know what it was too? It was cockiness, where, because I knew I can get another job, right? So it's like,
Exactly. Same.
different
That's
times, right? So,
because nowadays.
So, okay. So you guys basically, and then tell me about the editing process. Were you part of the editing process as well?
Well, I was editing. Actually, this is a funny thing. I was editing the story as we were shooting it. So we would film, let's say, because the schedule was very scattered because we had to like, play with everybody's availabilities. But let's say we filmed on a Tuesday afternoon. I'd take that, and before we met the next week, I'd have like the first scene edited and then show it. And that kind of helped because I had a hard time actually in the beginning explaining fully, like, oh, this is what I'm going for. So that kind of helped be like, ah, this is it. This is the style. And it helped.
And I can say that it helps a lot with the rest of the shooting for actors and me, because as Abu said, sorry, we can visualize more of his vision easily.
You're so what you shot a day and then you edit it and then you showed everybody the what you edited?
I showed it like next time we shot. Oh, I'll just send it and they'd see it. Like, oh, okay, this is cool. I like where this is going. I see the style.
Did you
Let's do
shoot
more
an
with it.
order? Like, did you shoot like the her dream first, or what did you shoot first?
God, I don't remember this anymore. Hold on.
The first one was a part of her dream in the park.
Yeah.
And then we went, in the apartment to shoot
Yeah.
part of her dream and part of her routine. And the last day of shooting was in the no, we had the restaurant, and the last one was a part of the apartment at the end.
Yeah, because okay, I remember that. So yeah, we started with the garden. That's where we shot the first thing. So I guess I had that edited. And then we went to my friend's journal, who let us film in his apartment. Thank you, by the way. Shout out to him. And so we shot basically all the scenes we were supposed to shoot, except that we forgot one scene that we had to go back for after we were done filming the whole thing. So after we were done with the apartment, we went to this restaurant, Moshish Tavuk, which, by the way, amazing people. They didn't know who we were. They only know like one of well, Abdullah, one of the actors, but they ended up having us film for free and then fed us, which is, thank you. But yeah, so we filmed there last, and that was it, I think.
And then you did like what about the sound design and the edit? Who did did you guys did you find someone to do the sound design?
Yeah, that's my longtime partner at this point. I think I met him back in 2022, Vincent Loisel Latour. I also make music, so we also work on a lot of music together too. And yeah, I had him do, because we did not film, we actually did not record any sound while we were filming. We just needed the visual. So Vincent built the entire sound of the movie by himself from scratch, basically. Anything related to the ambience and all that. I also had Julien Fernand, who I also met back in 2022, 2021, do the soundtrack of the film. So yeah, I was working with both of them on anything related to the post-production.
Gotcha. And then,
Yeah.
so then you guys got yourself a smartphone film, which is great.
Yeah.
That won an award too. How cool is that?
So what's next?
What?
Very good question. I'm trying to push it further. I think it's cool to explore anything visual. I wanna like push the limits of the creative stuff even more. Do something completely left field and just as compelling visually and story-wise. So we'll see. I'm trying to work on the script right now to film potentially next year with the same team, and we'll see what that one leads us.
So this is, correct me if I'm wrong, this is your first festival run. This is your first festival experience
For me, yes.
for
Me
both of you.
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're kind of learning on the fly, like learning on the fly in a sense. It's like this distribution, I guess, right?
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that one was very intimidating too, as I was going in it. I had to talk to friends who knew more about it, and I was still a little bit confused. Eventually found Film Freeway and got in there. Submitted to a bunch of festivals, and then I just, I guess I was not too used to it. If I hadn't received an email from the Wild Sound Festival, I wouldn't have known that we won anything, because I wouldn't even, go look at the website.
Yeah, well, that's what you're hoping. Did the festival send you emails, right? So, at least
Yeah.
from my experience.
Thankfully, thankfully.
Okay, so in your according to your blog interview, we always ask people the question, what film? This is for Abub. You haven't answered the question yet. Do you remember when we asked you the question, what film you watched the most times in your life? Do you remember what your answer was?
I'm pretty sure I said Spider-Man. It's gotta be Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. Yeah. 2002
Yeah.
Spider-Man. Were you even born in 2002?
Oh, I'm 27. I mean,
All right, but you're 4 or 5 years old. Do you remember when you first saw the film?
I don't know if I remember when I first saw it. Man, I must have been in Egypt at the time. I was young.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I remember being obsessed with the suit. I remember being obsessed with the swinging. And I remember like being scared of the Green Goblin.
Yeah,
That was,
too.
as I grew older and watched it over, it's just one of my favorites. I think part of it is nostalgia, sure, but I relate to the character spirit. So yeah, it's definitely one of my favorite movies of all time.
I'm old enough to remember that because the film came out like in like I think April, May 2002. And it's the first Spider-Man movie ever. There's been 20 million since then, but in 2001, summer 2001, they were promoting the film, right? And one of the trailers was they did Spider-Man did a spider web between the twin towers, right? Summer 2001. And so basically that was like, oh, cool, he did a spider web between the two towers. Of course, obviously that marketing plan went by the wayside, but that's my memory of that film, where it was like this really kind of clever marketing because it's set in New York City as well. And then it got obviously they had to change it for obvious reasons.
Oh man, yeah, it's
I didn't mean
definitely
to
not
bum you
something
out.
you forget.
I just remember that. So basically, Neil,
No, that's
what was your do you what can you answer the question? What film you watched the most times of your life?
For me?
Yeah.
Oh, great question. I'd say it's kind of between Titanic
Okay.
and the Harry Potter saga,
Okay.
I would say.
So you guys are both classic Hollywood, blockbuster viewers, I guess.
Yes, we can say that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yes,
Yeah.
absolutely. I
So
love it.
the romance, and then the fantasy of Harry Potter.
Yeah, but I would say like Titanic kind of traumatized me. And that's the part that I would want to watch again and again to like kind of grasp the making and all the scenes. Because when I was a little girl, I thought it was like real. I didn't know they were in a little pool. So I would watch, but for the moment of the crash with the iceberg. Yeah, I would say that. And Harry Potter, I would say I watched it for the universe because It kind of took me out of the real world, I think, like everyone else. So basically that, yeah.
Gotcha. Take care of the real world. Well, I wish you guys the ultimate best of success. I thought this film was great for what it is. You got,
Yeah.
like I said, you told the story what you wanted to tell. You didn't make it too long. You made it funny, but it was also dramatic and serious as well. And great job. It's I hope you guys keep making these films.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And so let's talk again, either individually or together again, and when you guys make your next film.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
All right, have a good one.